Amen. Very, very good. Enjoyed the music today, haven't you? Amen. Well, hope you've had a good Mother's Day. And hope that your husband and kids treated you right today. Hope you didn't drown in some creek in Crum or Justin. That was bad. Did y'all see that? The rescue in National Guard was called in to rescue people there in Crum. And so we ate up the lonesome spur, and we saw that big cloud coming. And that big cloud is the one that spurred the tornadoes and up around North Argyle and all that. So pray for safety. We needed the rain, just don't like the what comes with it. So I'm just pretty sure we all need to build an ark. I can think of a song that goes with that, but I won't sing it. Also, we mentioned this morning briefly about the Activity Center, which is the now new official name of the gym, and the Activity Center, that we have made some progress this week and really just made progress quick. Just all of a sudden, things kind of fell together. So love it when that happens, and the Lord has a hand in it. Now, I want to give a little testimony before we get into the message tonight, because we really haven't updated you much, because there really hasn't been much to update. And so for the first probably 2 months, we voted on it in January and putting the plans together for January and February. It took a couple of months to get the plans together and thought we were okay. Then we started dealing with drainage problems, and that took a couple of months to work through the issues of where the building sets, and we were trying to move the building closer this direction, and we cannot do that. We have to leave it where the original master plan showed it 12 years ago, and that's where it will stay. And so if we touched it, it caused a lot of other problems, a lot of extra money, and probably a year extra time. And so, and then it would have messed up future projects. So the decision was made not to move it closer to this building. So it'll start about where, a little bit in front of where the goalposts are at. So if you want to go out there and look and say, oh, that's where the front of the building will be. So it's further back, a little further back. That's all right. We all walk in the Walmart parking lot and do fine. We'll buy some of those little golf carts. Y'all seen those? I'm serious. We'll get us a couple of those, and we can pull the shuttle bus underneath over here, and it'll be no problem. And so that was really a two-month delay, and this is part of it. We were spoilt because this building was connected to that one, and there wasn't a lot of red tape to go to, whereas this one, it's water and sewer. Everything has to come in. It's just a bigger deal. And then for this last month, we've been dealing with problems with the code when it concerns fire lanes and having another fire plug, another fire hydrant. And so the city, according to the letter of the law, if you were to follow the city's law specifically, was adding about $135,000 to the project that we didn't want to spend. Amen? And so, and there's a little section in that code that says if the building is sprinkled, which this one will be, I don't know why you need to sprinkle a building that's made of non-combustible material in a big open area, but apparently there's not a lot of common sense in America anymore. But we'll not go into that. I was very kind. Anyway, so the city, in that little code, it says if it's a sprinkled building, then the city has leeway or has some discretion as to what is required of the church, and so of anybody. But so anyway, they erred on the side of helping us a little bit, so a $135,000 issue became a $35,000 issue. And I know that's, you said, well, then we still got to spend $35,000. I was doing cartwheels, and especially on the inside, maybe not on the outside, but it was awesome. And that happened on Friday. And it is good that at least the relationships as we have had them over the years, at least the relationship gets you an opportunity for somebody to look at it a second time. And we've always followed the rules at our church, always followed the code, never asked anybody to do anything special for us, and we still don't. We haven't in this project. We want to be a good testimony in the community. And we want a nice-looking building, attractive building. We want a safe building just like the city wants. And so, but that was a huge, huge issue. So that was accomplished, and that hurdle accomplished, Lord willing. That happened on Friday, and Then I got the call about the shuttle bus on Friday and went by and looked at it. And we really have been praying the last 8 or 9 months. The finance team, every time we've met, and the guys will testify, we've said, hey, what are we going to do about transportation? And, well, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. And none of the finance team felt comfortable about borrowing money to buy something, and neither did I. And so God gave us a shuttle bus, and that will work for our needs and get us over the hump. Because right now, if all the youth departments showed up at one time, we didn't have enough transportation to take them somewhere. And the same thing with the Christian school, to help with the HCA. And so that's a blessing. And it's a blessing to have a youth group that has grown so much. Amen. I'm glad we have a transportation problem. And then the Lord fixed it, I believe. And certainly will be a tool that we can use around here locally. And we'll give it the test the next 2 or 3 months and see if that bus is worthy of taking it to youth camp. So hopefully it will be. And there'll be a lot of work done on it. So that happened on Friday as well. Just a good day. And so keep the activity center in your prayers. So hopefully on the activity center this next week, hopefully we're still back to the civil engineer having to draw in the 150 feet of road that has to be put in, as well as the fire hydrant and disconnect that have to be put in. So once he has that drawn in, and he has said verbally to us that he could probably have that ready by Monday. But I know I've seen on Facebook that his house flooded, so we'll give the civil engineer a little reprieve. He's from Bowie, and that's another whole story. Our civil engineer ended up being a childhood friend, the same civil engineer we used on the original building from 13 years ago, and we've still been using him. And it wasn't me that contacted him. Our architect was already using him, and we had no idea until it all came together. Hey, that's a childhood friend. But yeah, y'all pray for Jason Swain. He lives out by the lake, and the Bowie Lake. The Bowie Lake came up full in 2 days. Now it's 5 feet above flood stage, and a lot of flooding going on up in that Montague County area. So, but anyway, so if he gets it this week, we can get it to the city. I'm going to say the city would take, I'm not going to say. It's going to be at least a month. There's no doubt by the time you give it to the city, and they're going to make some more changes. They always do. So, but we're a lot closer than we were yesterday. The loan is still in place. All the finances are still in place. It's just a matter of getting the okay. Now, Dan Whiffen, our contractor, has already stated that we can begin without a permit. We can move dirt without a permit. And so just as soon as the bank is done, we signed the contract last week with Dan Whiffen. And so as soon as the bank has processed all the legal paperwork and we actually have the loan in place, which should happen here pretty quick, then we'll move ground and we'll start moving dirt. It's going to be a lot of dirt to move. And so we'll look forward to doing that. So hopefully soon you'll begin to see some dirt work. I know the kids saw all this railroad equipment come in, and the kids from the Christian school, and they started, hey, the gym's starting, and then all the equipment went back to the back and it didn't stop. And we want to appreciate the railroad for coming in on our property, like 5,000 trucks in and out. So I get a call to talk to the railroad guy. Oh, yeah, we're going to bring a crane in here. Da, da, da. I said, no problem. Do what you need to do. And next thing I know, there's like 1,000 million equipment coming in here. But the railroad, I'm pointing to Brother Ratch. Amen. The railroad has said to me verbally that they're going to give us some rock. So we're going to hold them to it. I'm going to keep the guy's feet to the fire. And give us some rock back there by the concession stand and redo that. Some of y'all remember years ago in front of the concession stand, there was a parking lot there. Now it's hid with grass. And so we'll hopefully get that. Maybe get a little rock for free. But believe me, as much stuff as they brought in and done. And the guy that's over it said we've saved them a ton of time and money, because they would have had to come over from the other side. And anyway, we don't mind being a blessing, but we wouldn't mind them being blessing us as well, right? Did I preach on that something? I don't know. The railroad can afford it, right? 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Kind of family time tonight. It's kind of how I planned it. We had a great meeting, I believe, on Wednesday night, if you weren't here. Just a concentrated time of prayer, and we're going to do some of that tonight as well, talk about prayer. I said Wednesday night. I really think maybe in our own lives as Christians, if we're not careful, we become very flippant about prayer. especially someone who has grown up in church like myself, who's been around it, we have a tendency to take it for granted that we get the opportunity to speak to our Heavenly Father one-on-one, straight to Him. We are high priests. Amen. We are royal priests. Amen. And we go straight to the Father. And I think if we're not careful, as Christians, we become flippant about it. We just become, it becomes a ritual to us, or we begin and we stop doing it at all. Yeah. We must remember that when I call my dad on Sunday night, or my dad calls me on Sunday night, it's not a ritual for me. And though we may do it every Sunday night, talking to my dad, my earthly dad, on Sunday night is not a ritual for me. I'm excited about it. I want to talk to him, and I'm glad he still thinks it's exciting to talk to me. I don't take it for granted. I hope I don't, that I get to talk to my dad. I know some of you lost your parents, and I've gone through that with you and prayed with you and done some of the funerals. I know my dad turned 65, and I want that time with him, and I want to spend that 30 minutes on the phone with him. If you've ever called me, you know, sometimes I'm kind of short on the phone, and I'm just not a big phone, you know, I'm just not the guy that you're going to call up and spend an hour on the phone with. I'm not your guy. If you want that, I'll speak to you in person. But with my dad, it's different. I want to spend time with my dad on the phone. It's not a ritual to me. And with our Heavenly Father, it should be the same way. It's not a ritual to me. It should not be a ritual to me and to you. And it should not be something we take for granted. Talking about the doctrine of prayer, we talked about intercessory prayer Sunday night. I'm going to touch on that a little bit tonight as well. But intercessory prayer, praying and spending time with the Lord, developing that relationship with the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him." By the way, prayer means ask. That's what prayer means. If you pray and you don't ask for anything, you really haven't prayed. I don't think you rush in and ask for everything up front, but you might come in and praise Him a little bit and thank Him for the great God that He is and repent of your sins and then begin to ask for others and then yourself, the acrostic that we've used for years. Pray, repent, ask for others and yourself, and then yield to His will. And I think it's very easy. That's not very complicated. I made it complicated because I forgot how it goes. But as far as we're praying, He says there, "And whatsoever you ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight." We touched on this on Wednesday night, and it's found in Psalm 66, verse 18. And we won't go read it. I'll quote it for you. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer." And here we sing in verse 22 where He says, "Ask, but when we ask, we're asking, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things which please Him." There are conditions to prayer. We went over those Wednesday night. If you want to go back and listen to the messages, you can do that. And Brother Clark did a great job. Brother Wiggins did a great job. You can go back and you listen to them. But there are conditions for prayer. As we approach the throne of grace, we need to remember that we are approaching our Heavenly Father, and that we should talk to Him as we talk to our dad. We must remember that there are things that would hinder our prayers, and the Bible talks about those things. And the thing is sin. Sin hinders prayer. And we must go to Him and repent of our sin, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. Prayer is a divine human relationship through which we communicate and establish a relationship with God. Think about that for a second. We get to talk with God. We get to talk to the Heavenly Father. Prayer is man talking to God. It is an essential part of the Christian life. Amen. Just as air is to the lungs. I am telling you tonight, two areas in which we neglect, if we're not careful, it becomes very easy to neglect. Prayer and witnessing. These are two areas the church struggles in as well. These are two areas that we constantly have to back up and remind the church, remind our church family, hey, are you praying? Having our prayer meetings. We're going to change our Saturday prayer meeting on Saturday from 8:30 to 5:30. And see if we get some of you men. We've had about 8 or 10 been coming out on Saturday morning. We're going to change it to about 5:30 and see if we can't get some more men out here on Saturday. So starting this Saturday, we're going to have the men's prayer meeting at 5:30. Prayer is important. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. Prayer is important. And we must be reminded constantly as Christians to keep the communication lines open. And the great deal that's good for the church, for the pastor, and for our Sunday school class leaders to remind the congregation, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? And then witnessing. Witnessing is the other area we struggle in. And in the church and individually, as we back up and say, all right, how's my witnessing doing? How's my witnessing doing? Am I being faithful in witness at church? At work? Am I being faithful in witness at home? And faithful to witness to my neighbor? Am I faithful to come out for visitation and soul winning at church? And all these things, being faithful in that relationship. Talking with God is developing relationship with Him. I know this is cliche and we use this illustration a lot, but what if a husband never talked to his wife? If I never talked to my wife, there would be no relationship. And over time, there would be lots of problems. It's important in a relationship that we communicate. In marriage, it's vital. It's vital. If there's no communication in marriage, it won't take long. That thing will break down. I'm talking about in a matter of weeks, it'll break down. You need the communication. And with the Lord in your personal daily walk with the Lord, you need to communicate with Him. And you need to talk with Him. I've had somebody say this lately. Well, preacher, he already knows what I'm going to say. Why not have to say it? Because he said to do it. Yes, he knows what you're going to say. But he has said for us to say it to Him. Yeah, God knows everything. Right? Amen. God is a great and powerful God. Brother Clark touched on that Wednesday night. God's powerful. He can do anything. He wants us to communicate to Him. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants that relationship. Our spouses desire that communication. I know some of us men say, well, we don't. Yeah, we do. If my wife never talked to me, it may take a little while longer. But at some point, I'm going to miss that communication, right? All right. I appreciate some of you who laughed and some of you didn't. To fail in prayer is to forfeit many blessings. To neglect prayer is to forfeit many blessings. To stop short in prayer is to fail to secure strength for Christian living. It is the power that God gives us, enables us to live. This is actually the verse I came across this week that I wanted to share with you. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to this. This is Samuel. Listen to what he says. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Now, I was taught as a kid growing up in Sunday school that not to pray or not to read my Bible is a sin. Right? He that knoweth to do good and doeth not to him, it is sin. I know it's a good thing. It's a good part of my life to read my Bible and pray. When I neglect that, it is sin to me. Now, not if I miss one day. And we have really pushed that here, that we're not believing performance-based Christianity, where we believe God's up there somewhere is going to strike you dead if you don't read your Bible tomorrow morning. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
But to neglect Bible reading and prayer more than a day or two that you had to skip is, listen, a sin. S-I-N. It's a sin. Samuel said of Saul, if I neglect to pray for you, it would be a sin to him. If I cease to pray for you, it would be a sin. And we must remember as Christians that not only is it us communicating to God and having that relationship with Him, but when we don't and we fail to pray and we fail to read our Bible and we fail to do those basics of Christianity, that it is a sin. That it hurts us. I've got a sermon I'm developing. It's almost there. It's out of Deuteronomy, where Moses says that God set down the laws for Israel's good. Can I remind you that God always has your best interest in mind?
Yeah.
Always. And prayer is one of those areas in which He desires communication from us. He desires relationship with us. I'm still, every Heritage Day, and when I restudy the word inheritance, and I think about that we are a heritage of God. We are a heritage of God. Look what God got when He got us compared to what we got when we got Him. I mean, there's a huge difference, a vast difference. But God did get something when He got us. He says so. He says we're His heritage. Think about that, teenagers. We are God's heritage. He got something when he got us. What did he get? He got what he desired to have us from the very beginning. God created man to fellowship with. God created man for his good pleasure. Right? Our purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy that relationship with him. So we ought to, as Christians, enjoy that relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy that relationship with our Heavenly Father. We ought to be communicating with him on a daily basis. In fact, not just a daily basis, but all day long. Pray without ceasing, right? So we're in a constant attitude of prayer. A constant attitude and a communication with him in prayer. Every day. Something happens to you during the day, you ought to be able to just talk to him right then. With nothing obstructing your prayer as you pray to him. There ought to be... In other words, there's been a few times me and my dad, even my adult life, where I have skipped a couple of weeks and got busy and so forth. It hasn't happened the last few years, but you know, some of us grown men can take for granted getting to talk to our dads. And so there's been a few times I've had to call him up because I would hear from other sources that he was wondering what was wrong with me. I'd call him. The first thing, instead of just talking and getting into communication with him, I had to tell him I'm sorry first. Right? Spend a little time saying, Dad, hey, I'm sorry. I just got busy and shouldn't have, you know, whatever. Our Heavenly Father, we should be in a relationship with him and that we don't have to say we're sorry every time we talk to him.
Amen.
We don't have to come and repent of our sins every time we talk to him. I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying there ought to be, right? Man, I got up that in the morning and I prayed, Lord, help me live in the spirit, not the flesh today. And again, Brother Stone's deal he preached here, it still sticks with me. Lord, help me live in the light of eternity. I pray those two things every morning, most every morning. And then I began my prayer. Most of the time I began my prayer confessing something.
Yeah.
But during throughout the day, we should have that open communication. We shouldn't have to go to him and say, I'm sorry, every 15 minutes in order to open back up the communication lines. Everybody get what I'm trying to say? I think I've clarified it enough. Man, we need that open communication. We need the lines. I'd sing that telephone song our quartet used to sing, but I'm glad that the telephone line's never busy to God. Ever. Ever. And we can talk to him. The communication lines are always open. Prayer. There's a purpose in prayer. And there ought to be a purpose. As we go to the Lord, it's to express our thanks. In other words, it gives us the opportunity to thank him for all that he's done for us. The purpose in prayer is to thank him. It is good. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 1. To go to him in thanksgiving. Also, the purpose of prayer is to enjoy fellowship. 1 John 1, 3. And again, we won't turn to all these, but man, what an opportunity we have to spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
The purpose of prayer, to enlist divine assistance. I can't live the life by myself. I can't live this life on my own. There are things that happen every day that I need him. Every day. And we need to go to him and pray. Prayer means to ask. As we think about the divine blessings also as we go to him. Remind you too, the Lord always answers prayer. Always answers prayer. Yes, no, or maybe. Actually, it's yes, no, or wait. Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes it's yes. Boom, it happens. Sometimes it's flat out no. Sometimes we pray amiss. We talked about that Wednesday night. We pray our motivation sometimes wrong. And God will say no. But God always answers prayer. God hears our cries as he heard the children of Israel's cry. God hears us when we pray. God's line is never busy. Prayer, as we go to him in humility, as we go to him and our sins confess, as we go to him even forgiving others, sometimes communication is stopped because we have an ought against a brother. The Bible makes it very clear that if you have an ought against your wife or ought against your spouse, that God will not hear your prayer. He says, first bring your present to the Lord, then go to the Lord. In other words, bring your confession to the Lord in regards to that ought against someone else before you bring your prayer to the Lord. So if you have animosity, you have bitterness, or you have hurtful feelings towards someone else, and you don't get that right first, God's not going to hear your prayer. So that's pretty tough, isn't it? In other words, before I can talk with the Lord, I need to get right with my fellow man. It's amazing, isn't it? By the way, the Lord will help you do that. It's not like you're alone. You're not alone. We should make it a habit of praying, a habit in life of every Christian to pray and practice. It should be a way of life. D.L. Moody said, a Christian should begin, continue, and end everything in prayer. Everything in prayer. David was a man who practiced prayer. He said in Psalm 55, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel was a man who prayed, in fact, three times a day, and did so even at the threat of being killed. Amen. Was thrown in a den of lions because he chose to pray. Jesus, of course, is our greatest example of prayer. He prayed. He prayed there at the Mount of Transfiguration. He prayed while he rested. He prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. So should we be men and ladies of prayer. Following our Savior's example. Following in His steps. That's our goal, isn't it? Our goal in life is to be like Jesus, to follow in His steps. And Jesus was a man of prayer. By the way, if He's God's Son and He still needs to pray, what do we need to do? If He felt He needed help from His Heavenly Father, man, how much more do we need God's help? We touched on this some Wednesday night, but there needs to be a perseverance in prayer. We need to continue in patience as we pray. Luke 18, Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, praying always. And then the one that we are so familiar with, 1 Thessalonians, says pray without ceasing. We need to be in an attitude of prayer constantly. When something happens in your life, is it your first response to pray? It ought to be. It ought to be. Pray. Prayer is not just the lips moving, but the heart. I remind you, your lips can say anything, but if your heart's saying something else, it's over. It's like someone walking the aisle and praying some sinner's prayer verbally with someone and walking back the same person in their pew. Yeah. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. A prayer does not save or bring anyone into heaven. Are you listening? It's the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Of course, there's confession. If he said, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before the Father. If we're saved, there ought to be a confession. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the heart is in action first. It's a heart matter. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. A person can say anything they want with their lips, but it's what's in their heart that matters. And when you pray, we need to check our heart. How's our heart? When we pray for others, an intercessory prayer for Miss Roberta or Miss Penny Poe or for Miss Modine or whomever, our church family, how's the heart? Because it matters to God. If God's going to hear your prayer, it matters how your heart is. How is your heart? By the way, our hearts are deceitfully wicked, the Bible says, above all things. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to be Christians of prayer. As Jesus was a prayer warrior, David and Daniel prayed, Paul prayed, we need to be people of prayer. Here's some of Dr. Barber's quotes. Dr. Barber will be here next Wednesday night. You're gonna love it. If you didn't hear him 2 years ago, you are in for a treat, I promise you. He will quote more scripture than you've ever heard in your entire life. Amen. He is an orator. Here's a couple of his quotes. He says, and these are not necessarily his. He's gotten these from somewhere else probably, but some of them may be his. He says, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Prayer changes things. You believe that? Absolutely. Praying pews and powerful pulpits make perfect partners. I don't know how many times I've heard Dr. Barber quote that. Let's say that again. Praying pews and powerful pulpits make perfect partners. If you whisper, whisper a prayer. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. I quoted that one Wednesday night. You say, well, I just don't have that much faith. The weakest saint on his knees, Satan trembles. He has no weapon for it. I remind you that he can't. You're talking with God? There's some other things I'd like to say. I want to get off on the charismatic movement, but I'm not going to do it. The powerhouse is always there. So push the button labeled prayer. I like that one. God always answers prayer. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says, wait a while. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. How's your prayer life? It's vital to your Christian life. Just as air is to the lungs. As a Christian, you will not be a healthy Christian if you don't have a healthy prayer life. Good. Let's all stand. Hymn 118. Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening. Y'all remember what it says? So that what? Keep your heart in tune. That's true. I'm sorry, probably another teenager has heard that song. How many of you heard that song? You know that song, Whisper a Prayer in the Morning. It's a good old song. Keeps your heart in tune. How's your heart tonight? How's your prayer life? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us and your desire to have that personal relationship with us. Lord, we pray that you enable us and empower us to communicate with you more often, to continue on our road to being more like your dear Son. Help us to pray. Give us power in our prayers. We'll thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.